It is such a neat thing to be able to have original music from my own groove. It's just such a blessing. You guys realize that. I have done something to my voice, so I'll speak as best and as loud as I can, but y'all lean in and pay attention and listen and try to ignore my voice and try to hear what God is saying to you. That's what's most important, all right? There is a lot of folks here today. Is it like Easter or something? What's going on? This is fantastic. You know, I was noticing one of the problems in that song earlier, Christ Arose, is biblically inaccurate. He wasn't a rose. I told Julie he was a lily of the valley. And then I went and looked it up, and he wasn't that either. He was actually an apple tree. Did you know that? Song of Solomon 2, 1 and 2. You go look it up. You'll see what I'm talking about. Let me welcome you again to Church in the Falls. We are a family anyone can belong to. So wherever you're coming from, whether you're online watching or whether you're here in person, we are very much intending to be a group where you can come and start your journey or continue your journey, take it to a new level. We believe the Bible here. We trust the Bible is going to teach us something that's going to matter. And that's where we come from. But wherever you're coming from, this is a safe place to explore your faith. And we're glad that you're here. Especially those of you who are new and visitors, we're just very honored that you would take the time to join us. And we want to celebrate your presence. So thank you for being here. You know, Jesus said that he had the power to lay down his life and to take it up again. John 10:18, you remember that? I get thinking about the power of someone being able to say that. You know, maybe you can relate to this. Sometimes you feel frustrated with God. Sometimes you don't understand, why is he doing what he does? Why does he let this happen or that happen? Can you relate to that at all? If you can't, you just haven't given enough time. But things don't make sense, and then you even question God a little bit altogether. Is this for real? If you have those moments. What I've noticed in my moments is there's one thing that always holds up to the scrutiny of anything I throw at it. And that is the person of Jesus Christ. That doesn't make sense. Nobody makes that up. Whether it be archaeologically, whether it be historically, whether it be common sense, whether it be something in your DNA that knows it's true, all the above, the person of Jesus Christ changes the entire dynamic of your faith. And it's overwhelming to think about. He's doing some really cool things, and we celebrate one of those cool things, the taking up of his life again on Easter Sunday. It's a celebration. One of the things I want to do today is I want to try to teach the entire book of Ephesians in one lesson. Y'all are laughing. Get ready. What my goal here is, Ephesians highlights some really unique elements that I think is very appropriate for our world today. And it's around the resurrection. That is not the moon, by the way. You guys thinking that's the moon? That's not the moon. That is a stone guarding a tomb. Can't even get out the exit door. It's guarding it right there. But the story we read of the resurrection has a lot to say to every generation. And I think Ephesians has a unique way of putting it for us today. And so I hope that you'll allow me some latitude to run down some rabbits. I showed a video clip last week of Wonder Woman. And I know some of you are like, why are we looking at Wonder Woman? And I don't believe in Zeus and all that kind of stuff. Well, let me share one of the reasons why. It sets up today very nicely. Wonder Woman came from the Amazon women. Did you know that there was really a group of Amazon women? Did you know this? Herodias, who is the original historian, we call him the first historian, he's the father of history, in 484 BC wrote, "No girl shall wed until she has killed a man in battle. Thus saith the Amazon women." For real, this is real. There was really a tribe and they did this and it was unique. And what's even more important, and the reason I bring it up today, is because apparently one of the queen of the Amazon people was named Ephesia. She named Ephesians back in the day, again, according to legend and history. Don't know all the truth of that. But it's a really important element because it really shows something about the culture behind the book of Ephesians. You'll see this picture of Artemis here. That is from a couple hundred BC as well. And you see there's a warrior. She's drawing an arrow, right? Does that not look like Wonder Woman? That's Artemis. Guess who they worshipped in Ephesus? Artemis. The entire culture bent around that. So if you're writing about the gospel of Jesus in a culture, you got to know about Artemis, or you're going to miss the people. You got to know about Wonder Woman, is what I'm trying to say. That's a real important element here. And you know what her Roman name was? Diana. She was the daughter of Zeus. I mean, it's literally Wonder Woman, is Artemis, the way we think about it. And that was the entire culture of Ephesus. In fact, this next building here, does that look familiar? What does it look like? It's like the Parthenon. Do you know that this is four times larger than the Parthenon? I've seen the remains of this. Four times the largest building in ancient antiquity throughout history. It is considered one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It is a temple to Artemis in Ephesus. This is the culture that Paul was writing to. And it's real important. Antipater of Sidon, I don't know who this guy was, but he wrote in about 2 BC or 2nd century BC. This is what he says. I have set eyes on the wall of the lofty Babylon, on which the roads for chariots, and the statue of Zeus by the Alpheus, and on the hanging gardens of Babylon, and on the colossus of the sun, and the huge labor of the giant pyramids, and the vast tomb of Mausolus. But when I saw the house of Artemis that mounted to the clouds, those other marvels lost their brilliance, and I said, lo, apart from Olympus itself, the sun never looked out on something so grand. Paul references this very temple because it was still there. It wasn't destroyed until about 200 AD. If you remember in Acts chapter 19, there's a story of Paul going to Ephesus. And in verse 27 and 19, it says this, of course, I'm not just talking about the loss of public respect for our businesses, says one of the townspeople. I'm also concerned that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will lose its influence, and that of Artemis herself, this magnificent goddess worshipped throughout the province of Asia and all around the world, will be robbed of her great prestige. The crowd got angry, and their anger boiled, and they said loudly, over and over again, great is Artemis of Ephesus. Great is Artemis of Ephesus. To the point that they almost killed Paul until he came out and calmed the crowd. An amazing story in Acts 19. This temple is right there casting a shadow over this speech. The culture was loud with Artemis, with this Amazon-like, Wonder Woman-like goddess. When you speak to a crowd who are worshiping something like that, what do you say to them? Another thing you should know about the backdrop of Ephesians, I think, is really interesting. In verse 17 through 20, in the same passage of Acts 19, listen to this. The story of what happened spread quickly throughout Ephesus, to the Jews and to the Greeks alike. A solemn fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. Many who became believers confessed their sinful practices. And notice what it was. A number of them who had been practicing sorcery brought their incantation books and burned them at a public bonfire. The value of the books was several million dollars. So the message of the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect. One of the ideas of Artemis is that she could give life and take it back. Does that sound familiar? Jesus said that. The culture knew this about their goddess that they were worshiping. They understood that she had that ability. She tied everything together. And just like a Native American who might kill a deer and then pray over the deer and almost free its spirit. You've seen some of that on television before. There was something about Artemis that was like that, and the people gravitated towards that. They wanted to connect the two worlds together, so they dabbled a lot in magician, witchcraft, and sorcery. It was important to the culture because it connected them to Artemis. She was apparently a magician, a shapeshifter, a sorcerer. What do you say to a crowd like that? How do you approach telling the story of Jesus to a group of people who are so rabidly focused? In fact, in the ancient times, if you had a secret spell book, you would call it an Ephesian letter. Isn't that ironic? We're reading from Paul's Ephesian letter. Let me just read a little bit from Ephesians 1 and 2 and 3 and 6. Check this out. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms. Now I want you to pause and think about this word, heavenly realms. The idea here is there's something bigger than just us. It's not just the physical world I live in, but there's something out there that's bigger and more powerful, and I want to tap into the heavenly realms. That is what a magician would do. That is what a sorcerer would do. It's not just to be a human person. I want to be able to control things around me. Therefore, I'm going to say the right phrase at the right time, read the right book, do the right thing, put the right pot together, and then I will have power in the heavenly realms. This is a very important phrase. Paul starts his letter that way. The heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's how Paul decides to do it. You want supernatural power? You want to worship what you think is Artemis? Let me tell you who it really is. It's being in Christ. That's where the power is. 1 verse 20. He exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. There it is again. Chapter 2 verse 6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. If you want power, Ephesians, let me tell you how to do it. Get with Jesus and he'll put you in the heavenly realms. You will literally be the thing you're wanting to be. You have authority and power and understanding that you couldn't understand any other way except being in Christ. Chapter 3, verse 10. His intent was that now through the church, that is us, that the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities of the heavenly realms. It just got better. You're not just going to dabble in the heavenly realms, Ephesians. You are going to be seen by the authorities of the heavenly realms in the church, in Christ. Chapter 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms of which you can be a part of in Christ. Are you seeing a pattern here? Paul is appealing to a mindset that was not afraid to go to the temple and worship a Wonder Woman-like figure. And he was saying, if you want that, let me tell you how to get it for real. It's not Artemis. Beautiful temple. It's not Artemis. Let me tell you where the real power is. You want heavenly realm sorcerer or magical powers? Let me tell you how to do it. Get into Christ. Because he raises from the dead. He still rolls stones. Even to this day. And that message is applicable to us. As the church. It's almost like he's saying, Artemis is going to take notice. Because you're going to be on her level in Christ. You got to meet people where they're at. And that's where they were at. And Paul goes directly to it. In fact, in chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, when we read 20 a minute ago, this is the verses before and after it. Listen to this. His incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Far above all rules and authority, all power, all dominion, and every name that has ever been invoked. Not only in this age, but in the one to come. You've invoked on the powerful name of Artemis. Great, let me tell you a more powerful name. It is Christ. Can you hear the message coming out? People were so overwhelmed, they took their books and they burned them. We don't need this anymore. We want to know about this in Christ business. Because he has the power to raise the dead. And it doesn't get much more powerful than that. Jesus says, I have the power to lay my life down. And I also have the power to what, church? To take it back up again. And He wants you to be a part of that. He's going to raise you from the dead. And that is the message. There was a writer in the very early first century. He died in 108. He was a disciple of John the Apostle. His name was Ignatius. He writes a letter to Ephesus as well. And he says this. Because of Christ's incarnation, it has dissolved all of your magical practices and the bondage of evil and ignorance. The old kingdom of the prince of this age has now been destroyed. This was a real deal in Ephesus. They were trying to understand, how do I take charge? How do I get out of my broken place? I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. I need help. I need power. If I just call on the right person at the right time in the right way, if I say the right incantation, then maybe I'll take control of my life. And Paul says, I know what you're saying, and you're right. You need control of your life. Let me show you how to do it. The real power is, say it with me, church, in Christ, who will seat you in the heavenly realms with Him. He will raise you from the dead with Him. That is the message that is so mystical and beyond. Because there's a barrier keeping us from where we want to go. There's a barrier keeping us from that power. A barrier keeping us from God. A barrier keeping us from each other, quite frankly. And the powers that be make it difficult. And so we reach out to the force. We reach out to magic. We imagine vampires who live forever because we want to have control of our life. We love the supernatural gifts. Who's watched the show with supernatural gifts recently? There's like 50 of them out there, right? Someone's got this ability, and we all go, oh, wow, that's kind of cool. Why do we want that, church? Because it makes us feel like that barrier can be broken and I can move through it. Paul says, I got the answer for you. It's in Christ. That is where the power is. The real power. It literally raises Jesus from the dead and will raise you as well. I want to share a movie by Dan Stevers that kind of draws attention to something called the veil. It's one of those boundaries that have separated us from God for centuries. Push play. imagine what it would have been like to have been a Pharisee, to go to the temple the next morning and to walk in and things had been broken and the veil that was so precious, keeping you safe from a holy God, had been ripped all the way apart. And you were probably one of the ones that voted to have Jesus crucified. Something supernatural happened that day. The finger of God shook the world around and broke stuff and tore it. That's real power. And it's in Christ. This is the invitation that we have received. Ephesians 3, 1 through 5. I'm going to read a lot here, so just kind of flow with me and soak it in. I'll have the highlights on the screen. God gave me the special responsibility of extending His grace to you Gentiles. He's writing to the Ephesians here, who are mostly Gentiles. As I briefly wrote earlier, God Himself revealed His mystery plan to me. And as you read what I've written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by His Spirit He has revealed it to His holy apostles and to His prophets. I have some insider trading. I am, Paul says, about to tell you the ultimate spell. Pay attention. And this is God's plan, he says. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news now share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body and both enjoy the promise of the blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. The real power is, say it with me, in Christ. That is the power. And he's reminding us that you just thought the Jews were special because they were close to God. Let me tell you what, Gentiles, you now have the same access. The veil has been torn. And oh, by the way, they didn't have a lot of access themselves. Now all of us do. The real power is in Christ. He continues, though I am the least deserving of all God's people, He graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. He says, I'm the least of the apostles. I persecuted the church. I don't deserve this. Let me tell you, church, it doesn't matter how least you may feel, how stuck you may be, how far away. Maybe you're the Gentile of the Gentiles. You're way over here and God could never accept you and you don't have the power to get over all your stuff. Guess what? There's plenty of power in Christ. That is the invitation that is given to all of us. To join Him, no matter how least you may feel. Chapter 3, 10 through 11. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display His wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers, the authorities in the heavenly places. There it is again. This was His eternal plan, which He carried out in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Something big is going down. We are now the standard of the heavenly realms in Christ. Verses 14 through 18. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the Creator of everything, heaven and earth. And I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts. As you trust in Him, your roots will grow down into God's love and He will keep you strong. May you have the power, there it is again, to understand all that God's people should. How wide and how long and how high and how deep the love of God is for you. It's not enough that you're just going to have access to power and see it on the right hand of God. You need to know that the one who's making it possible is doing it because He cares about you so greatly. And all the great sorcerer, you pick it. The master typically doesn't care that much for the underling because the master wants to stay ahead. The master came to earth, became human, poured Himself out to teach, to show, to live, to suffer, to die. So that He could say to you, you matter to me. And I want to give you the power, not just because I want to give it to you, because I love you so much. And this is how deep and this is how wide, and this is how high my love is for you. He's going to give us power just to understand it. Verse 20, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you to accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request. Your most unbelievable dream to exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all. For His miraculous power constantly energizes you. And I want to add to that. In Christ. We all fall victim to wanting to have power over life. We need that. And we do it through career. We do it through job. Some of us go into the occult, into the magic realm. We try our best. Be honest. Don't raise your hand, but you know who you are. How many of you sat and tried to use the force at one point in your life? I know it's you, right? And you're like, I can just make my Bible move, right? And we do that because we need that. We crave that. Here's the answer. Paul is writing to you, Star Wars fans, Harry Potter fans, you name it. There's real power in Christ. It's such an amazing reality, and I don't think we fully grasp it sometimes. There's something special going on, and we've been invited to be a part. Here's the message version of verse 20. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His Spirit deeply and gently within us. God is nudging you. He's a good teacher. He's not throwing you out. He's saying, let me show you something. You're going to like this. I don't know. That's kind of hard. Just trust me. Just give it a try. You really want me to turn my cheek to that idiot? Trust me. You pray for your enemies and I'll dump hot coals on their head. You're going to love it. Just watch. Just trust me. That's being in Christ. And there's real, tangible, supernatural, miraculous power in it. In ways that you can't quite fathom until you begin to exercise with it in Christ. Ephesians 2:1-2, drop it back a couple chapters. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, he's talking to new Christians here, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, who is the commander of the powers of this unseen world. He is a spirit at work in those who don't believe God. Now that's a little scarier. He's saying there's two kinds of powers out there, and you're going to tap into one or the other. One is a cruel master. The other is a loving Heavenly Father. Now, I don't know if there's real magic out there. It sounds like the devil inspires some real borderline miraculous things in history. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. That is not the path you want. Because in the end, you're the butt of the joke. You don't gain power. You become a slave. With God's version, in Christ, you become free. If we're free in Christ, and if we're free, then we're free indeed. If Christ has set you free, is what he says, this is for real. He's going to set you up into a place where real power will flow through you to do supernatural things in the world around you in Christ. Chapter 2:8-10. For by grace you have been saved by faith. Nothing you could do could ever earn this salvation. For it was a love gift from God that he brought to us in Christ. So no one will ever be able to boast. For salvation is neither a reward for good human works or for human striving. As in, there's nothing you can do to do this. You're not going to do the spell right, is what he's saying. No matter what you do. We instead have become God's poetry. A recreated people that will fulfill a destiny that he has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. And even though, even before we were born, he says, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works that we would do to fulfill it. There's another theme of a movie. How many of you want to feel like your life matters on an eternal scale? That's the heavenly realms kind of language, right? That's the supernatural power where you do something and it ripples into eternity. Do you realize that is the invitation that you get in Christ? Some you will see, some you will not see. Some will be the other side. We'll look back and I can't wait. I hope. Let me just say that. I hope this glory that we read about in the New Testament that we will receive on the other side. I hope it goes like this. What all the people who are here because of Paul the Apostle give a shout. And everybody's going to say, ah. What about when it comes to you? What about when God looks at you and says, would everybody who is here because of, and you fill in your name there, and you listen up, and the 12 people you know yell loud, but then you hear hundreds and thousands of others that you don't even know, but it has trickled down through the generations in such a way. And you hear, and you think, I did that? Well, yes, you did in Christ. These are the things we can't comprehend on this side. But that's what the Bible teaches us, is that what we do impacts eternity in ways that we can't fully comprehend. Because that is the supernatural power of God through us into this world, this destiny He has for us. 14 through 16. Our reconciling peace is Jesus. He has made Jew and non-Jew one in Christ. By dying as our sacrifice, He has broken down every wall of prejudice and separated us and has now made us equal through our union with Christ. Ethnic hatred has been dissolved by the crucifixion of His precious body on the cross. The legal code that stood condemning everyone has now been repealed by His command. His triune essence has made peace between us, starting over, forming one new race of humanity. Jews, non-Jews, fused together in Himself, in Christ. So it's even better than that. Not only do we tap into the heavenly realm's power, not only are we loved by a Father who wants to teach us, train us, and use us to impact eternity, but even the divisions between each of us has been broken down. Those weird people who do it different than you do, they are your brothers and sisters now. And there's genuine love that is not only expected, but provided. It makes the world the way we want it. Wouldn't you love to go out and not have anybody be bigoted or negative towards you? Wouldn't that be a great experience? Spend 10 minutes on Facebook. Step back and go, okay, I don't want that world. Not your grandkids. That's all perfectly okay. But you know what I mean. The ya-ya about, well, you're this and you're that and you're this and you're that. And if you don't believe this, then you have to believe that. And everybody's yelling about everything. Can you imagine what it would be like if that was tore down? The Bible says that is what is tore down in the church. In Christ. And it is a powerful opportunity. And we think about the things that hold us back. I'm not good enough. I'm not special enough. I'm not able to. I have these things, these problems that hold me back. Our giant stone that's holding us in is full of all kinds of things like addiction, shame, fear, enemies, the money problems, our illnesses, depression, trauma, hopelessness, on and on and on it goes. At the end of the day, the big one is sin. We just can't get ourselves together. Can you relate to that? We just can't seem to get it, and I don't know how to do it, and I'm stuck behind this giant stone. I'm dead to my old self, but I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get it. I need real power. I need somebody to roll the stone away. Here's the thing. That's what we celebrate today. The God who is real with power. The God who shows us what Artemis wanted to be, what people tried to find through a false idea. Jesus is really that. He really still rolls stones away. And all the stuff that's blocking you from whatever it is you need to do, getting along with those brothers and sisters who are like this, right? God will provide the power for that. Impacting eternity. Nobody could plan that. God will provide the power for that. He will roll the stone away that is blocking you from that. He will remove the shame and the guilt and the oppression. He will work out the trauma. He will build hope where there's hopelessness. He will rebuild your life from the inside out. Now, there's a Lauren Daigle song called He's Still Rolling Stones, and we're going to listen to about 2 minutes of it because it's so good. This was featured on the Ellen Show and a bunch of very big names because they don't care about what the message is as long as it sounds good, and she's a great musician. But I want you to listen to the message of what this song is going. This is a version she put out during COVID, so everybody's in their little boxes. But just listen to the words, and then I invite you to wiggle and dance as you listen to the rest. Quick push play.
That I was too far gone for everything I've been wrong. Oh, I'm the one who dug this grave. But you call my name, you call my name. I thought that I was too far.
What makes that supernatural is it's not just a good beat and a good rhythm that you're going to sing for the rest of the week, I hope. But listen to the words. I thought I was too far gone. I was behind the rock. I didn't know what to do. What am I going to do? I can't, because of all the bad I've done. But he called my name. He is calling your name today. Do you hear it? He is calling your name. He is ready to roll the stone away. He still does that. He still resurrects things right now in your life. And he's got supernatural power to do it. There's only one condition. You have to be, what is it, church? In Christ. The Bible teaches us that we are baptized into Christ. We confess that he is our Lord and Savior. We go into Christ. We submit our life to him. Our old self dies. We come up out of the water. We're a new person. There's nothing fancy about any of that. It's about what's going on the inside. Are you hearing him call you? And are you willing to answer? The message is, He is still rolling stones. Pray with me. Father, we're excited about this message today, Lord. I know we celebrate resurrection every week, but Easter is such a special time. Thank you for reminding us of the greatest love story of all time. One that doesn't end with just sacrifice, which is amazing. Someone jumps in front of a bullet and we want to honor and celebrate them, Lord, but he doesn't just die. He gets back up and then says he's going to take us with him. Father, we celebrate that today. Lord, I pray that you would descend your spirit upon each of us today, those who are watching online, those who are here in person, and that we would feel and be moved by the voice that is calling out to us. The promise that in Christ the stone rolls away. The life is resurrected. Hope is restored. Future is bright. And it may be hurting and painful right now. And this world, quite frankly, might never feel good. But the promise and the supernatural power of what you will do through us, in us, because of us, will ripple into eternity. Father, help us feel that and know that today. Lord, I ask that you would call us, convict us of our sin, draw us into responding in whatever way it is that you've called us. You know our destiny, Lord. I pray for each one here today that they would hear your call and that they would respond. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, by the power of your Spirit. Amen. If you need to respond today, we have a prayer room right outside that exit sign. You can come forward. You can grab us during the week. If you need to sit and resonate, go listen to that song a few times and just soak it and do that. But when you're ready, when you feel like you're hearing God's voice, we'd love to help you with that. We don't have all the answers, but we know where to find them, and we love you. If you need to respond today, please feel free. Let's stand together and worship.